just in the three young brothers. We're seeing it hard, we're seeing it kind of rough. Said always with a smile, she was sure to try to hide. You see the fact you must, you know life was really tough. I can hear my mother call, I can hear my mother call. Late at night I hear a call on the Lord, I hear a call. Father, father, it's for the kids. Can you hear everything my mama did? Please, please don't judge me too strong. With me, we're doing a cosmic slump. Would you like to dance with me? We're doing a cosmic slump. Would you like to dance with me? We're doing a cosmic slump.
Uhuru.com, the online voice of the International African Revolution. Reparations in Action is the weekly online program of the African People's Solidarity Committee, an organization of white people working under the leadership of the African People's Socialist Party to win support from the white community for the struggle of African people worldwide for national liberation, self-determination, and reparations. My name is Jamie Simpson, your host and a member of the mass organization, the Uhuru Solidarity Movement, which works directly under the leadership of the African People's Solidarity Committee, coming to you from the studios live this Sunday, January 17th. And in the studio joining me is the chair of the Uhuru Solidarity Movement and our engineer today, Comrade Jesse Neville.
Uhuru. Uhuru Jamie.
Uhuru Jesse. Really glad to be in the studio with you today.
Same here, likewise.
And as many of our listeners may know, or if they don't, they should, last week was a momentous weekend, momentous three-day plenary.
It was.
First 2 days were the plenary of the African People's Socialist Party, and the third day, Monday, was the plenary of the African People's Solidarity Committee.
Yep.
And it represented a qualitative and quantitative leap forward for both organizations in many, many myriad ways. And we're going to be discussing some of that, but primarily bringing you two powerful presentations. And one is from the chairwoman of the African People's Solidarity Committee, Penny Hess, and the other from the Secretary General of the African People's Solidarity Committee, Allison Haney. Now, Jesse, I believe, I think you would be the best person qualified to summarize what we're about to hear from Comrade Penny Hess.
Uhuru Jamie, thank you, and Uhuru to you, and welcome all of our listeners today that are listening here on uhururadio.com. And I want to agree with what you just said, that the plenary conferences of the African People's Socialist Party and the third day of the party's plenary, which was the APSC plenary, were beyond anything that has been seen in history, really. It was a history-making event and a huge turning point for the Uhuru movement, for the African liberation movement, and for the struggle to win white people to take responsibility for our legacy of colonial terror and enslavement and oppression of African people that all white people have either participated in or benefited from in some fashion, and stand on the right side of history under the leadership of the revolutionary African working class. And what was so significant about this plenary, which a plenary, for those who don't know, is second to the Congress, which happens every 5 years, is the African People's Socialist Party's highest meeting body, where all the members of the organization come together and sum up and strategize on the struggle for the upcoming year. And one of the things that distinguished this plenary from any other that we have been a part of is that young, dynamic, vibrant African leaders are rushing into the party's leadership and seizing the reins of the leadership of the party, which is the advanced detachment or the vanguard of the African working class. And that is something that the chairman, Omali Yeshitela, and the leaders of the African People's Socialist Party have been building for over 40 years. This time period that we're in right now is something that the party has been not just waiting for, but preparing for, mm-hmm. for the last 40 plus years since its founding in 1972, that the party was founded in the ashes of the military destruction of the Black Revolution of the 1960s that Penny talks about in this presentation that was carried out under COINTELPRO. And as the chairman has summed up, two generations went by where African people had no revolutionary leadership to speak of. The leaders had been killed, jailed, chased into exile, and the community assaulted and besieged on all sides, on all fronts, by the police, by the expansion of the prison system, and by drugs, the imposition of the drug economy, and the hideous education system, and every other facet of colonial brutality that you can imagine. So this is a turning point. This is the dawn of a new era, and the death throes of imperialism were palpable in that room on January 9th, 10th, and 11th for the party's plenary.
Indeed. I think what's clear is that this organization, the African People's Socialist Party, intends to govern, and this is what the organization is moving towards in a very real way with all of the projects set up. So many, it's dizzying. I know for members who have been a part of this work for decades or can get used sometimes to hearing that this was a turning point, this was a,
right.
And they always are plenaries,
yeah.
But this was qualitatively different.
It was.
This genuinely was a turning point,
yeah.
Internally and externally,
yeah.
In terms of the relationship that the party has to the masses internationally, the relationships that have been established throughout the world, including the anti-globalization movement of Russia, which we want to give a shout out to,
mm-hmm.
Which gave its solidarity statement, and other organizations that we hope to bring to you in the form of interviews,
mm-hmm.
Here on Reparations in Action. And I also want to give a shout out to any listeners there to become part of the Reparations in Action team,
mm-hmm.
to help develop this platform of deepening our understanding of African internationalism as developed by Chairman Amalia Oshetola and the African People's Socialist Party. You can be a part of this. You can be a part of helping to bring guests on, helping to be out there in the field, report to us on what kind of work you're doing in your area. And so it's going to be a really exciting year, 2016, for the Hoor Solidarity Movement, for the African People's Solidarity Committee, and for the entire African People's Socialist Party umbrella organization.
Yeah, I want to echo that. It's not only very politically rewarding and significant, but it's also a lot of fun to be in the Reparations in Action team. And we've referred to it in the past as the Solidarity Think Tank,
mm-hmm.
you know, where we hash out these ideas. How do we bring the call for reparations to the white population in a way that results in white people, that peeling off every white person we can from the block of white nationalism that usually characterizes the white population,
mm-hmm.
and turn everyday white people into African internationalist revolutionaries? You know, how
Indeed.
Do we do that? That's what we deal with on this show.
And we see the genius that's unleashed in people when they come into this work,
mm-hmm.
you know? Comrades like in the National Steering Committee, Comrade Wendy Craig, Comrade Riot Fogarty, Virginia Wilson, and many more that I'm not mentioning. I just
yeah.
really want to appreciate everyone who's a member of the Uhuru Solidarity Movement that's doing work, and call on anyone who's not already a member to go to uhurusolidarity.org/join-USM and find a level for you in sustainership or general membership in the Uhuru Solidarity Movement. But yes, Jesse, we're going to move to the clip now.
Yes, without any further ado, USM is the mass organization of APSC, African People's Solidarity Committee, founded in 1976. At that first meeting of the formation of APSC by the party, by the chairman, in 1976, Penny Hess traveled from Kentucky to participate in St. Petersburg, right here in St. Petersburg, in that first meeting. And as Secretary General Allison Haney said, Penny Hess became the first white person to become an African internationalist.
Uhuru.
And what we have here is a truly the most important presentation that Chairwoman Penny Hess has given. It is a deep and very disturbing look at what white people, what we have done to African people, and it lays out the basis for how we can finally take responsibility, make the self-criticism that we have to make for what we have done and what we have benefited from, and chart the way forward through reparations, through genuine, unconditional solidarity with African people and their struggle for liberation by any means necessary. So this is Penny Hess speaking on day two, January 10th, Sunday, 2016, at Akwaba Hall at the plenary of the African People's Socialist Party.
Uhuru! Uhuru, I want to salute this plenary of the African People's Socialist Party and Chairman Omali Eshitalo. This is so profound, and it's so moving, and it's such an honor to be able to be here and to have a chance as white people to join the African Revolution and play a role that we are assigned to carry out, and in by extension, to end our alienation from the rest of the world and be able to join humanity and an opportunity to be part of crafting a future. And we have a very particular role to play. So I want to thank you. I want to thank the African People's Socialist Party. I want to acknowledge the leadership of Chairman Omali Eshitalo and to recognize that 2016 is the 40th anniversary of the African People's Solidarity Committee. After the formation of the party itself, the Chairman Omali Eshitalo formed and built the African People's Solidarity Committee. And for whatever quirk of fate, I was there. And once I heard Chairman Omali Eshitalo speak and begin to understand the reality of this world, I couldn't walk away from that. That explained everything about what we experience, what we understand, and how things got to be the way they are. And so I want to salute Chairman Omali Eshitalo and say, the chairman is our leader too. He is our chairman too. And he gives us the leadership of what we have to do to be part of the world revolution and even have a future. And to say that working under the leadership of the African People's Socialist Party and Chairman Omali Eshitalo for 40 years has been the most incredible experience that you could imagine. For a white person, this is redemption for the white population. And I want to salute Deputy Chair Ona Zene Eshitalo, Secretary General Gaida Cambone, and Secretary General Luwazi and other leaders of the African People's Socialist Party who have been there and given the leadership and struggled with us and tamed the beast, because it took that. It took incredible struggle to make us even understand what this is about and what we're responsible for and what it is that we have to do. It took almost 10 years to do that, a fierce struggle with us. And I want to tell you a little bit about that. The party, the African People's Socialist Party, formed APSC in 1972, which was the height of what maybe you would call phase two of the counterinsurgency against the African Revolution. And the chairman has described it, the counterinsurgency is a war, a U.S. war against the revolution of the colonized peoples. And we saw this counterinsurgency not only launched, and we talked about the assassination of Patrice Lumumba and other leaders on the continent of Africa, but also inside the borders of the United States. The program was called, the most famous program, was called COINTELPRO, and headed by the FBI and J. Edgar Hoover, of which was responsible for the assassinations of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King and Fred Hampton and so many others whose names perhaps we don't even know. And who, in the wake of that, as the chairman has described, salted the earth of the African community, or tried to, by pumping in illegal or drugs, chemical warfare, crack cocaine and heroin into the African community, after having taken away all of the methods of economic development that had existed there through the program called Urban Renewal, which was urban removal, as the party called it. Well, Africans had no jobs. The revolution was destroyed. The African community, much of it, faced despair and inability to know what was even happening. Only a few years before was Black is Beautiful and there was Africans marching down the streets, you know, of Oakland, California, carrying the gun and saying, you know, this is the Black Power Revolution. And the point that I want to make is that the revolution, as the chairman, and the chairman was the only one that has summed this up, that was destroyed. It didn't just end. The African Revolution of the 1960s was militarily defeated by the U.S. government. And in its wake came chemical warfare, came the massive criminalization of African people and the building of prisons and stuffing Africans into prisons where they're still in today, where we have 2.5 million people, mostly African and Mexican, in these concentration camps called prisons inside the United States of this country. No country, not China with 1 billion people, no country in the world has anything close to the number of people in prison as the United States government has. And that's part of the counterinsurgency against the African community. And in this wake of it, neocolonialism rose up and the white left, the vicious, self-centered, opportunist white left to get its own and to be part of crushing the African Revolution. So the formation by the party of the African People's Solidarity Committee was really significant. It was really powerful. And we didn't even recognize that, you know, for a long time. And even now, we have to really say how significant and important that is. That the party, as the chairman laid out in this political report, the chairman and the African People's Socialist Party, because of African internationalism, has solved all the questions and issues that have gone unresolved in the middle of the defeat of the African Revolution. And to think about, you know, Huey Newton and Fred Hampton and these leaders were young, as young or even younger than some of the Africans who we've seen this weekend up here in their early 20s. They didn't have a chairman, O'Malley Ishitella. They didn't even probably know that much about Marcus Garvey, which was only 30 years before that. They didn't know about the history of struggle. They just burst onto the scene and became world leaders, recognized all around the world, and they were crushed so viciously. And that the party was able to solve this problem that had been there. What do we do with the white people? This is one of the questions. It's not the only question, but it's one of the questions of the African Revolution. And right. SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, tried to deal with this. In 1966, 10 years earlier, they wrote what was called the Vine City Paper and basically evicted all the white members of SNCC and said, your responsibility is to go back into the white community and organize other white people. But we didn't do that. I mean, we got into the drug culture, dropped acid, found that we didn't want to be drafted to go to Vietnam, so we went to anti-war demonstrations. But we didn't go into the white community and organize other white people in solidarity with the African Revolution. And so this was not solved. And one of the things that I've heard the chairman say is, will African people fight the U.S. government and the entire white population? No. The strategy of the African People's Socialist Party is to build a force inside the white population, inside the belly of the beast, who represents black power in white face. Yes. That is there behind the enemy lines, behind the enemy lines. And we recognize that this question of the white people, there's never been somebody like us. There's never been a white people before. The world didn't know, and still doesn't know, what to do with these white people. And, you know, Africans and indigenous peoples welcomed us, even though we were coming there to assault, to rob, to plunder. We were welcomed. We were welcomed by Africans. The language didn't have words for what we did. They didn't have words for lying and slaughtering and killing, and that we did this in the name of civilization, quote unquote, in the name of Christianity, in the name of progress, in the name of the advanced civilization on this planet. And that what we did was we lied, we stole, we plundered, we tortured, we terrorized, we murdered, we stole what you didn't even know you had. Because Africans and indigenous people didn't even have a concept of private property, that the land, they said, well, everybody breathes the air, somebody can't own that, how can you own the land, because it's for everybody. But we said, oh, we're gonna take this. And we even turned African people into private property. Unthinkable, and you know, and there's no words for what we did. And this is historical record because we assaulted you. We raped you. What you saw that Secretary General Uwezi showed in Congo, that's from white people. That's what we did. And I'm not just talking about the government. And I'm not just talking about corporations. But I'm talking about white people, white citizens, poor white people coming from Europe as oppressed, poverty. Immediately began the torture and terror of Africans and in genocide against the indigenous people, as this was our birthright. This is what we did. And we had the power of life and death over you, and we used it. And we broke glass and stuffed it into your vagina, in your anus, and we cut you. We cut out your uterus and your vagina and made them into hat bands and saddle horns and wore them as a trophy for conquering this land and African people. And we cut open your womb and pulled out the baby and cut up the baby and stomped you to death. And we cut off your hands by the millions when you resisted in the Congo and other places. We cut off your skin and made it into leather. We cut off your scalps and made coats out of them. We cut off your head and put it on a post as a symbol to others not to resist. We cut off your ears, your fingers, your toes, your noses, your penis. We stuffed it into your mouth and made you choke on it. We put you still alive on roaring fires, feet first, and burned you alive inch by inch until you were dead, and we stood around laughing and took pictures of it and made postcards out of it and sent them out to our friends and our family. We hanged you from ropes from trees and put our little daughters all dressed up in starched pinafores and bows and posed them in front of the bodies and took pictures of it. You can find this on the internet. This is historical record. This is what we did. This is what we did. We have to say that. We have to be clear about that. We beat you until there were deep scars. We put you in vats of boiling molasses and rolled you down the hill if you resisted. We locked you up in breeding pens like animals and sold your babies for a lot of money. Thomas Jefferson did that. This is what America is. This is the DNA. Not only did he rape as a pedophile Sally Hemings when she was 13 and 12, but he bred babies, African babies, and sold them, and that was his main income. We degraded Africans. We had psychological terror. We still do. We stole science. We stole culture. We were stupid and ignorant. We didn't have anything. We didn't know anything. We didn't know the world was round and how to build a pyramid. We didn't know any of that. It was all stolen from Africans. And we said it was white. It was Greek. It was Rome. It was the greatest civilization on the planet Earth, and we tortured you, we beat you, we starved you, we waterboarded you, we quartered you and tied you to horses going in different directions. pulled you apart. We ripped you from your family, from your language, from your Africa, and we raped, we killed, we murdered, and we're still doing that. This is white society, and we have to say this because we say we are the peaceful ones. We believe in nonviolence. Oh no, we can't have any resistance that's violent. We have to be peaceful. We have to believe in Christianity. We're rational. Let's talk about it. We're calm. Why are you so upset? What are you so upset about? Why are you getting all angry? Can't we all get along? You know, we're the terrorists. We invented terrorism. We are the terrorists. And this is the DNA of white culture. And the chairman understood. He formed the African People's Solidarity Committee because he understood that this is how capitalism was born. And capitalism is white power. That's what it is. It can't be reformed. How do you reform this? It has to be overturned. This is a pedestal upon which all white people sit, even if we're poor, even if we're working class, even if we're Irish, even if we're Jewish, even if we're lesbian, gay, etc., no matter what, if we're oppressed in the society, which we could be, because a society that oppresses everybody else, I mean, it's going to, you know, oppress white people. But the thing is, we still sit on the pedestal of the suffering of African people, and in every struggle, all throughout the history of the white world, when white people wanted to get something to overcome our own oppression, we did it by standing on the backs of African, indigenous, and colonized people. We got for ourselves at the expense of everybody else. So now you can see, oh, gay marriage. Okay, well, you know, we're so happy about that, right? But Africans are still being killed and murdered by the police. It doesn't matter if they're gay or not. They're still African. They're still being murdered. They're still being locked up. We still live in colonialism. And so this is the basis for the formation of the African People's Solidarity Committee. In a way, we're more than solidarity because we're part of the strategy of the Party for African Liberation, just like they have ANWO, just like they have APDEP, and they have AGIPROP. They have a front in the white community, and we have a relationship to that. We have a responsibility to what is being said there, to what is being called on, the mandate of the African Revolution, and we have an interest in it. And when APSC was formed, other white groups hated us and hated the party for creating this, and said, even though a lot of them said, oh, we support national liberation struggles, but not Africans inside the United States. But they said that, first of all, they said, well, you, meaning us as APSC, you picked the vanguard of the African Revolution. How arrogant. Like, I could pick the vanguard of the African Revolution? No, the vanguard of the African Revolution picked us. Picked us. Called on white people to join the African Revolution and to, you know, take up the struggle. And white people always also said things like, well, APSC is white lesbians under the leadership of black men. Now, that is so foul because, first of all, what about all the women leaders of the party? And what about the men in APSC? I don't know. But even if it were true, that all of APSC was white lesbians and all of the party were men, so what? It's still where we should be. It's still where we should be because this whole idea of the white left that our real interest is our struggle. We have a struggle. We have a struggle to overturn capitalism at the point of production as workers to gain power. But What that really means is if we would carry that out and organize as white workers, it means that we would be struggling for an equal cut, or maybe even a major cut, of the stolen loot of African people. It's like we want to administer colonialism inside this country and around the world, and we can do it better than Clinton or Obama or, you know, or anything else. And I mean, that's completely opportunist and wrong. And so the chairman understood a really important thing, that this is through the theory of African internationalism. He understood that inside the borders of the United States, the struggle of African people is against colonialism, not against racism. And that was one of the first pamphlets, perhaps the first pamphlet the chairman ever wrote. And it's powerful because, wow, this gives clarity. Because the whole idea, concept of the white left is this is a struggle against racism. And we have to demolish the idea of racism because it is crazy. It is wrong. Because it keeps us in the center. It says you're supposed to be Africans. I'm unlearning my racism now. I went to 5 lectures by Tim Wise, and now the racist ideas are erased from my head. Of course, I still go home to my neighborhood with my paycheck and my house, and Africans are still being shot down by police every day. But racism is over. And, you know, it's saying that, here, I'm white, and you Africans, now that I've gotten rid of the racist ideas, then you must start to like me. You must like me, and you must do what we say you should do, basically. It's an apology for the system, for imperialism as it exists. If we, you know, I hear, especially in California, I always hear these terms that white people say, like, POC. And I'm like, what is POC? And it stands for people of color. Think about that. It's so arrogant and white nationalist to say that. And it's like, oh, do you mean Africans? Do you mean Mexicans? Do you mean Filipinos? Do you mean Koreans? Or do you mean, oh, I'm white, and therefore you are a person of color? It robs the colonized of their nationality, of their struggle, and keeps us in the center of the whole thing. It's the party that has turned this around. White people sit on a pedestal of the oppression of African people, indigenous people, and colonized peoples around the world. That is the struggle that is going to lead in overturning this pedestal. As nations of people who have been oppressed, we are the oppressor nation. We are the colonizers, we are the settlers, we are the vicious, we're the same as the Israelis, as white people in South Africa. That's what we are colonizers. And the chairman said it. It is the responsibility of the revolution to kill the colonizer, and therefore it kills the colonized, and it opens up the new world. And this is really, really important. And in 1985, almost 10 years after the foundation of APSC in Oakland, California, where the party was based at that time, and where APSC, most of APSC existed there, the party had been in struggle with APSC, actually the whole time, around our responsibility. No, you're not supposed to go into the African community to organize. You have to go in the white community. And we were like, what? We don't want to do that. You know, I mean, once you start to understand about the white community, like, oh God, you know, I don't want to do that. But of course we have to do that. That's what we have to do. That's our assignment. And that we had to raise what the party called material solidarity, not just, oh, we support you. Well, turn the resources back over, because the system is parasitic. So up until about 1985, up until the struggle happened, basically we did some of these things, but we still saw ourselves as we had this struggle over here, and the party had Africans had their struggle over there, we're just sort of connected to it. But in 1985, a struggle emerged inside of APSC that was really important and really profound, and that's where it was around the question of material solidarity. When we had made a pledge to the party and we gave them like $5 or something, you know, we said that we were going to raise these resources. And so, you know, the party opened up a lot of struggle. And in this struggle, APSC was finally won. And the beast was tamed, really, in a clear way, because we began to understand that African internationalism is our worldview, that this struggle is our struggle, that we can be African internationalists. We don't have a separate thing over here. We are African internationalists, and the same conclusions that the party comes to, we can come to. We can come to. And the party's not going to ask us anymore to raise money, because that's a responsibility, and that we owe reparations to African people. And that, yes, the US government owes reparations. Yes, corporations owe reparations, but regular white people, we all owe reparations. We have social wealth. We are the children of the slave master facing the children of the enslaved. Because we can say, well, I didn't do it, but this is what we inherited, and this is what you inherited. This is what Africans inherit. And this was really key, and it was at this point that we began to take on institutions, building institutions, not only winning the question of reparations, that we owe reparations. We owe reparations, and it has to go not just to anybody, but it has to go to the leadership of the African Revolution to make the revolution. That we can't say we're supporters or in solidarity while sitting on the stolen resources. So we began to take on actions like the March Against Genocide, the Days in Solidarity with African People, and these events were also fundraisers in which we went door to door and we talked about these questions. And we started, you know, selling furniture at the Berkeley flea market and making pies and selling them. And these were the birth of the institutions that are today Black Star Industries. These were institutions of the party, but they were the division of labor in which we took these on inside of the white community. And so we began to be able to, you know, really personify in a lot of ways what the chairman calls for, that the political and economic are one, and certainly they are for white people, for there is no separation from that. The economic question is the political question, and who's gonna live and who's gonna control that. So the African People Solidarity Committee is growing, and we are the organization of white people under the leadership of the African Revolution. Now we have an opportunity to jump off this pedestal, to stop having to be the oppressor, to forge an honest and principled relationship to African people, not personally, but organizationally. This is how we change this. It's not because I did something nice. This is not about charity. This is about changing the material relationship in the world, and that we go into the white community to unleash the stolen resources and send it back. And that's why you see some of what you've seen this weekend of people giving so-and-so amount of money to the African Revolution, because this is our responsibility, that's all. This is our responsibility. And this is a powerful thing, because, you know, we're living in a period right now where imperialism is in crisis, as the chairman has explained so brilliantly in Uneasy Equilibrium and this weekend and so many places. And it's in crisis because Africans, Arab, and oppressed people around the world are struggling and fighting back. And imperialism can't do the same old things that it's always done before. It can't just oppress people and steal people's oil and diamonds with impunity because they have to pay a price for it. and that price is coming down inside the economy that affects white people. And they've just recently did a study in which this sector of the white society of middle class and, or I guess more like working class, middle-aged white people from like in their, like their 40s and 50s, mostly who did not go to college, but the ones who could always make it up the ladder of success before, are dying. And this, in fact, the life expectancy is declining for the first time in history for this sector of the white population. And they're dying from suicide, from drug addiction and alcoholism, because they have no future. Because they see that either they want to protect this relationship, let's fight for this parasitic relationship, or they see no future whatsoever. But the African People Solidarity Committee gives us a future. It gives us a vision. It ends our isolation. It lets us be part of all of humanity. It carries out what Che Guevara once said, that true solidarity is sharing the same fate, whether in victory or death. And it gives us the ability to do what we have to do inside the belly of the beast, and it's really powerful. We have to be organized for all of the white people that are in our base. We have to understand that it's not enough to just think these ideas, to think that it's interesting, it's good, or I believe that. We have to be organized. Only organization will win. An organization led by the African working class is a revolutionary organization. We've seen that discussed. And that we have to be cadre, not just, well, now and then. Because Africans, we've seen it, are going to fight. They're going to go all the way, whatever it takes. Because once the struggle for freedom and liberation is in the bones, in the minds, and the hearts of an oppressed people, they win, they go all the way, just like the Vietnamese did, the Chinese did, the Nicaraguans, the El Salvador, you know, all over the world, the struggle, this is gonna happen. And we're gonna be called on to do whatever is necessary to do. And that's what it means to be a cadre. We have to be cadre. It's not just for the African People's Social Party. They have to know that they have white cadre inside the belly of the beast who know what to do, who know how to do it, and who carry out whatever is needed by any means necessary. That's what we need. We have a responsibility to build in Europe. Secretary General Luwazi has called on us many times. We need to be in London, we need to be in Paris, we need to be in Stockholm, where the party is building, and we need to be in Occupy Tanzania. The chairman and SG Luwazi was recently there on a trip, and I had the honor of being part of, you know, the Uhuru Tours that was working on that. The chairman's gonna go there. And I had never really realized, because I haven't been to South Africa, I haven't been to Tanzania. When you look, you know, I was looking at, well, housing. I'm looking at Airbnb. Well, Airbnb looks like Santa Cruz, California, or, you know, Marin County, California, the richest, you know, neighborhoods that you could ever, you wouldn't know an African lived there. Not to mention it's their continent. It shows Whole Foods type thing, beautiful restaurants, very healthy, people exercising, white people exercising, having a happy life in Johannesburg. But I know that the comrades that Luwazi is organizing, the Africans who live in townships of corrugated tin, little shacks, no electricity, no clean water, they've never been to a restaurant in their whole lives. Never, you know, I mean, this is the reality in Tanzania. That has to end. It is going to end through the African Revolution. And white people, some of the white people have to start giving over the land that's stolen, giving it back, and standing in solidarity with the African Revolution are going to go down with this sinking ship, because African and oppressed peoples around the world have no time. They're not going to deal with us. They're not going to put up with this. We have to go. We have to turn loose our whiteness, join everybody else on the planet Earth. We have to build all throughout the United States, in Canada, in Israel, in Azania, in Kenya. White people are ripping off the land there. Every place, all throughout Europe, we have a mandate to do that. And this is what our responsibility is. And I'm proud to be a member of the African People's Solidarity Committee and to take this on under the incredible leadership of the African working class, which is the greatest example of humanity on this planet, which is brilliant, genius. It's the world that I want to live in, that all of us want to live in. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. And I want to, you know, I just want to call on all of the North Americans, white people in this room, and anybody who might be listening, you've got to join the African People's Solidarity Committee. You've got to go all the way.
Uhuru. And many people did join the African People's Solidarity Committee this past weekend. Salute to Chairwoman Penny Hess for that outstanding presentation, deepening the understanding of our responsibility to provide material solidarity to the African Revolution, and in doing so, become a strategy of African liberation. And we're going to move now. I also want to remind folks that you're listening to uhururadio.com, the online voice of the International African Revolution. This is Reparations in Action, the weekly program of the African People's Solidarity Committee. I'm Jamie Simpson, your host, here with Jesse Neville. And we're going to move now to a presentation by Secretary General of the African People's Solidarity Committee, Allison Haney. Jesse, did you want to say anything about this clip?
Uhuru, Jamie. This is Secretary General Allison Haney's opening remarks to the plenary conference of the African People's Solidarity Committee delivered on the morning of January 11th, 2016 at Akwaba Hall. And I think it really captures the mood and the tone and the spirit of the entire conference and the solidarity movement at large at this time. Allison Haney, Secretary General of the African People's Solidarity Committee.
Excited to be having our plenary here today following the most profound earth-shaking party plenary. The party is winning. We are winning, and the revolution is on. There can be no doubt about that after the last 2 days. The question is, what do we do about it, and what is our role in it? We heard the chairman's political report that summed up this period and laid out the mandates of the work for the party and all the organizations of the party in this coming year. And we unite with the brilliant political report of the chairman. And we're eager to start discussing the tactics and strategies for how we can carry out our role and responsibility in this tremendous period, take our deepest responsibilities. The party has upped the ante, and we must step it up too. So that's what we're here to do. First, we have to build the African People's Solidarity Committee. This is the cadre organization, the party formed for North Americans and Europeans to be under the leadership of the African Revolution. That's our task. We have to build this organization, and we're going to be calling on you to join today and many other people. Uhuru! If we want to participate in destroying imperialism and build a socialist world, there cannot be any other kind of revolutionary organization for white people. We have to be under the strategic leadership of the African working class, the revolutionary leadership of the party. The chairman laid this out in unequal equilibrium in his political report, and we're going to be discussing that more today. But the chairman's revolutionary ideology, African internationalism, lays the scientific basis of opportunism for all white people. Our unity with white power and parasitic capitalism that was built and sustained of the enslavement of African people, the genocide of the indigenous people on this continent, stealing and settling on their land, and the colonization of Africa, the Americas, Asia, and the Middle East. African internationalism shows us that if we want an end to imperialism, we must work under the leadership of the anti-colonial struggle of African and oppressed people who are even now, as we speak, in the process of building a revolutionary movement capable of destroying this system, this vicious system, once and for all. Down with imperialism! Down with imperialism! Death to parasitic capitalism! Death to parasitic capitalism! Death to neocolonialism! This is our vehicle for destroying this monster. So we must build APSC worldwide throughout the world, throughout the US, in occupied Azania, in Europe, in occupied Palestine, wherever, as parasitic settlers, we have gone throughout the world as occupiers. The chairman has called on APSC also to take up the demand for white reparations to African people further, go out further into our communities, deeper into this parasitic capitalist system, and vastly increase the resources to the party that are so needed. And our challenge is to go to the universities that have been built on slavery and the enslavement of African people, to go to corporations that are stealing Africa's minerals and resources right now, and to channel them into Black Star Industries, which is building an independent economy for the African Revolution and for the African people. So we're going to go to businesses, small and large, and that are like Whole Foods, taking prison labor to produce these overpriced goods. APSC waged a few years ago a campaign called All Diamonds Are Blood Diamonds, and targeting the blood-stained diamond industry. And it was very effective in its, in what we were able to do at that time, but it really raised up all the resources of Africa, of what we live on today, and that this has to end. We demand an end to that. We demand reparations to African people, and we demand that those resources go back to the African movement and the African community through the African Revolution. APSC and USM are going to fully participate this year in a deeper way in the Africans 1 Billion Strong funding campaign. Magnificent video that we saw from Deputy Chair's office. Take that out everywhere. Build the massive in our communities. Win new donors. Turn all our bases that have been built over these years into donors. Some of us work in Uhuru Furniture in the African People's Education Defense Fund. We have so many supporters and donors. Supporters, and they can be donors. So this is what we're going to be talking about today, how to really build this base, harness our huge base, and carry out this funding campaign to secure Uhuru GECO in Oakland as one part of this work. So it's very exciting and challenging work. We're going to build Uhuru Solidarity Movement branches in Philadelphia, in Oakland, and in many new areas this year, in Seattle, in Alabama, win hundreds more Europeans to the reparations challenge that we started last year, and build powerful days in solidarity in many places in 2016. We want to put our chairwoman on tour throughout the US, in occupied Azania, with the chairman, under the chairman's leadership and other party members, and win African internationalism and anti-colonial position throughout the white world. That's our task. So we want to defeat the anti-racist line and white opportunism wherever it raises its head. This is our responsibility now. This is the party's time. As the chairman said, there's been two generations of African people without a revolutionary movement, divorced from their history and their identity. Now they're coming in to the revolution. And the party is in place, leading the charge. They built a revolutionary organization, a revolutionary philosophy, a scientific analysis, and a strategy to lead the revolution forward. African people, Mexican people, Arab and Latin American people, all colonized people around the world are rising up to seize power, to self-govern, to kill the colonizer, to murder the slave master. This is the crisis of imperialism that we're seeing today and experiencing, and it's never before been deeper. The entire foundation is rocking, and it's about to erupt in fire. So what will the parasite do? APSC is the vehicle that we can provide to the white population to jump off the host, to take our teeth out of the flesh of humanity in fact, to join with humanity and participate in shoving the enemy of the people of the world into the abyss to die a terrible, horrible death. Death to imperialism.
Death to imperialism.
Death to imperialism. Death to the parasite.
Death to the parasite.
There is no solution for white people under imperialism. We have to face the reality. You know, we can see that the state that the white population is in, we have choices. We could be a drug addict and die of heroin overdose in New Hampshire. We could commit suicide. We could join the imperialist military, where as women and gays, we can now equally kill Arab and African babies and mothers. We can get all excited about supporting Hillary or Bernie or Donnie, you know. We can pray to white Jesus to save us. We can fortress ourselves in behind security bars and stockpile guns and canned goods. But it's we can enjoy our gay marriage until we get our gay divorce. You know, we can do so many things now under imperialism. But it's not going to make the revolution go away. It's not. If you don't like any of those choices, join the revolution. Join APSC. Because we have to face reality. We are the terrorists in the world. Always have been for the last 600 years. There is no such thing as an innocent white person. And certainly not the French, certainly not the British, definitely not Americans. We have the blood of six centuries on our hands, all of us collectively, and we must collectively commit class and national suicide. Uhuru! Uhuru! We must jump off the pedestal of oppression, as the chairman has said, and colonial exploitation that we all live in, and join in solidarity with African resistance. If we stay wedded to imperialism, we're fighting to hold on to the past, but we want to be part of the future. Yes. We are African internationalists. Yes. Uhuru! Uhuru! We put our fate in the hands of our chairman, Omali Ishatala, in the hands of the African People's Socialist Party and the African working class that is poised to seize power and unite African and African people everywhere. One Africa, one nation. Long live the African Revolution. Long live. Long live the African People's Socialist Party. Long live. Long live Chairman Omali Ishatala. Long live. No surrender.
No compromise.
No surrender, no compromise. Uhuru to Secretary General Allison Haney of the African People's Solidarity Committee. I want to extend a deep appreciation to the African People's Socialist Party and the entire Uhuru News Network for allowing the African People's Solidarity Committee this hour every Sunday at 1 p.m. to bring the message of Black Power into the hearts and minds of the white community. I want to thank our outstanding engineer, Jesse Neville, and he's also the chair of the Uhuru Solidarity Movement, and also encourage people to support Black Power 96 at blackpower96.org, and stay tuned for the 2:30 USM orientation. You can get more information at info@uhurusolidarity.org. We'll see you next week. This has been Reparations in Action on uhururadio.com.